This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you to everyone. I'm so happy to be back. It was a nice Sunday to sleep in, though. I hope Sean McCord did a good job and took care of everybody. Let me thank the folks in the Crozet and the Valley on 101.1 for listening. And for listening to me with a slight stuffiness and a cough in my throat that hopefully won't get in the way too much. We also want to thank L. Oppelman's for their support. They are Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890. At 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg, L. Oppelman's music department is now featuring acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, and violins, as well as electric guitar packages from Fender. Also available, complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street, Lynchburg. Online, it's loppelman.com. That's two P's, loppelman.com. All right, fire up the fingers, stretch out some muscles. Take a few calls throughout the hour today. Our guest, Charlottesville of Virginia, Mayor Dave Norris. Mayor?
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Good to be back with you.
And the phone is already ringing. That must be for Rusty because we're not taking calls yet, boys and girls. If you have a question, we will take them a little later in the hour. Kristen is welcome to take this call now, if you'd like, but we're not going to patch the folks through. Well, I always like to get the guests comfortable rather than striking them right away with a call. Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris first voted on to Charlottesville City Council in the year 2008, correct?
Six.
2006. That's right. I see that. Mayor since 2008.
That's correct.
I can't even read my own notations.
That's right.
Council since 2006. Mayor since 2008. Still mayor.
Still mayor.
And a mayor until 2012, right?
Well, depends on how. Yeah, I mean, my term ends the end of this year, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Yes, and that's one of the things we're going to jump at first is there have been some unusual votes in Albemarle County Board of Supervisors this week. Doesn't mean that there can't be some unusual voting going on in Charlottesville City Council that might affect how your mayorship, what's the proper word for that?
That's a good word for
mayorship,
it.
Mayorship, we'll use that. I love inventing words because I can't think of the proper one. For Mayor Dave Norris here, write down the phone number. We will take some calls later in the hour. 979-0919. That's 979-0919 is the local. And we're going to be talking about some topics that aren't just limited to the city of Charlottesville. Certainly things seem to blend into Albemarle County, but the initial topic here is going to be about politics in general. And so that would, wherever you're listening, if you need the toll-free number, that's 877-WNRN-ROCKS, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Mayor, the thing that has been in the hook supports Wake Up Call and is their cover story is about the Western Bypass.
Mm-hmm.
And you were not involved in this vote. This was Albemarle County. But I want to talk about the way that this vote was recently taken. Again, I wasn't there. I don't know all the details. And if I have a mistake in here, speak up or someone can call in a little later. But a vote for the Western Bypass in Albemarle County was not on the agenda for this week's Board of Supervisors meeting. After the majority of folks had left, majority of citizens had left the meeting because everything on the printed agenda was finished, a Board of Supervisors member said, I want to talk about the Western Bypass. The chairwoman, Ann Malik, said, can't do that, not on. Robert's Rules of Order says it's not on the printed agenda. Can't do it. Discussion took place, and then the decision was that, yes, we can. Let's take a vote as to whether or not we can talk about it anyway. Vote was 4-2 for talking about it. The discussion then takes place, and there's a vote of 4-2, same 4 versus the same 2, to pass this through, and yes, Albemarle County now wants to move forward with the Western Bypass. And for those who aren't familiar with it, you can certainly pick up this week's copy of The Hook as to what it is, what its pros and cons are, and probably get a good feel for who is on which side of the debate. But I want to talk about how politics takes place in such a manner that you're not even following Robert's Rules of Order, and how your thoughts on this and the Charlottesville City Council's play in all this.
Well, I think the reason why Ms. Malik and Mr. Rooker were a little upset was they had just recently adopted a rule that said that if items were not on their agenda, on the printed agenda, as you said, then they would have to be deferred until a later meeting when they could be advertised for.
And you said talk about that, and they'd just done it the week before, or two weeks before.
Yeah, just very recently. And I don't know exactly when it was, but and so I think they were a little flabbergasted after having just, as a group, adopted this rule that they all agreed to abide by. Then, sure enough, somebody brings up an issue, which is not some small kind of trivial issue. This is a project which is going to have major financial implications, major environmental implications, you know, and transportation implications, both pro and con. But and it's, you know, this is a major, major decision, and to bring it up in the dead of night at the end of a meeting when very few people are there and with no advertisement, no public input, I think that's what really rankled people. Even people who support the bypass itself, I think, were concerned about the process. And so that's, I think, left a bad taste in some people's mouth.
And has anything like this, whether or not it's happened on your term on the council, 2006 forward, are you aware of this happening in other manners in our area?
Well, you know, things do come up, and they're not always advertised. But I would like to think that for a decision of this magnitude, that at least in the city of Charlottesville, we would certainly do what we could to inform the public that a decision was coming up. We've had discussions take place, but we try not to take votes on sort of, you know, significant issues without advertising them on the agenda as such. It doesn't always happen that way, but generally speaking, that's our rule. So,
do you have thoughts as a politician? Mm-hmm. And I say that for many people don't often understand that in this sense, in city council member, this is not your paying, certainly not your livable paying job.
Correct.
So referring to you as a politician probably comes out sometimes when it's when some people mean it to be in a nasty manner,
right,
all that politician,
right.
When it's really more, I think, for some people, and probably yourself, consider it a serviceable job. But in a political manner, do you think that this will be attacked legally in some sense to remove or erase the vote that was taking place?
Well, there was nothing illegal about it. Let me be clear about that. They went through the proper procedures to suspend their rules. This rule they just adopted a few weeks prior. They took a vote first to suspend that rule. So they did go through the proper procedure. But I do think it has left a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of people. And I think for supporters of the bypass, I would hope that they would urge that it be revisited in a more transparent manner, with opportunity for public input and with more explanation as to exactly what motivated this change in policy. Because we're getting some very murky, sort of conflicting information now, in the wake of this vote about what exactly precipitated the vote. There was apparently a telephone conversation between one of the supervisors and the Virginia Secretary of Transportation in which promises were allegedly made that full funding would be provided by the state for the bypass in addition to some other regional transportation projects. And since then, there's been a lot of backpedaling or apparent backpedaling on that point. And now what appears to be the case is that if the bypass is funded, it's not, from what we can tell, it's not like the state's going to come through with an additional $300 million for the road. What they're going to do is apparently reallocate money from other road projects, which could have a direct impact on the city of Charlottesville, because we are in the same funding pool as Albemarle County when it comes to state transportation projects. And it makes us very concerned about, you know, we've got a major bridge replacement project on Belmont Bridge. We've got Hillsdale Drive, which is a road that's going to take a lot of traffic off of 29. We've got some other transportation priorities locally. And it appears, from what we can tell, that if the bypass is built, it's going to suck hundreds of millions of dollars out of this pot of funds, which will likely mean that many other transportation priorities will not be met in our region, and which is particularly galling when you consider the fact that the bypass is not really designed to support local transportation priorities. It's designed to support a perception by localities south of here, i.e. Lynchburg, Danville, etc., that this area is a bottleneck that's preventing the free flow of commerce to those communities and hindering their economic development. I have yet to see a single shred of evidence that backs up that argument. It's more of a perception that if we were able to shave a couple minutes off the commute of truck traffic going north and south through Charlottesville and Albemarle County, that somehow that would bolster the economies of Southside Virginia. I just, when you're talking about spending upwards of $250 or $300 million of taxpayer money on a project, you want to know that there is a huge, identifiable return on investment there. And I've yet to see a single shred of evidence to bolster that argument. Now, if it's out there, I'd love to see it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I think most people would say just get on 29, coming south in the morning, going anywhere at 4:30 or 5 p.m., and isn't that the evidence that you need?
No, my argument, I'm not arguing that there's not backups there. I'm arguing, A, there's a cheaper way of dealing with those backups, and B, what we keep hearing from localities south of here is that these backups, in certain times of day in Albemarle County on Route 29 are hindering the economic development of Lynchburg and Danville. I just don't see it. And again, you're talking about hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars, which this project, the Western Bypass, has been labeled by one of these citizens against government waste groups as one of the biggest, most wasteful government spending project in the entire country. And it's always ironic and interesting to me that the advocates of less government, of fiscal responsibility in this area, tend to be the ones that support the biggest government spending in this area, i.e. Western Bypass, Meadow Creek Parkway, this massive water supply plan, massive new dam for water supply. We're talking upwards, when you add all these projects together, you know, just those three projects alone, you're looking at, you know, probably $500-600 million, and throw in some other, and it's the quote unquote, you know, conservatives who tend to be leading the charge, as we saw the other night on the County Board of Supervisors. And it's really shocking to me that the Tea Party, our local Tea Party, I think the Tea Party nationally and locally is onto something when they talk about we need to get smarter, we need to get more efficient in how we operate government, we need to spend less money, we've got deficits on the national level that are killing us, and we need to rein in government spending. I happen to agree with that, And I think this is a perfect place to start. And instead, our Tea Party, their biggest, the biggest issue in terms of government spending that they've championed locally is an allocation by Albemarle County of $1,200 for membership in this international coalition of local governments that are supporting energy efficiency. So they're devoting a whole lot of time to to stopping an allocation of $1,200, and meanwhile turning a blind eye to allocations of hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and something's wrong with that picture.
But what is the reason given for the 4-2 vote to make this happen? I don't think that in the end I understand the bypass enough, because if I read about it in one article of one newspaper or magazine, it seems to be who's written the article that makes me go, oh yeah. And so if the article is against it, Dave McNair with this week's Hook, I'm like, oh well, that's ridiculous. Why would you put the North Terminus, as someone who works at that end of town by Airport Road, why in the world would you put that there? All this traffic is there. You don't remove it. And if I read something on another blog from a more conservative or from a viewpoint that says we should have it, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense to me too. The problem, what appalls me, is the way that the vote was taken. To me, I don't understand how anyone of any side of the fence can possibly say that's a good reason for doing it that way.
Yeah, and like I said, I think even supporters of the bypass would, if I were them, I would urge the county to revisit the county board to have another publicly advertised discussion where all the information is brought forward and verified. And then take a vote at the end of that and make sure there's public input available, just to make it legitimate. Because otherwise, there's going to be this sort of pall of controversy and illegitimacy over the project. And I would think that even people who support the project would not want to see that. There's no doubt, as I said earlier, there are pros and cons when you look at the transportation utility of the bypass. I mean, it certainly will reduce some traffic, some modest amount of traffic on 29, and make it easier for people to get to point A and point B when they're not going in town. So I'm not trying to deny that there's any transportation utility to it, but you have to weigh that against the cost. And again, when you're talking about something that's going to eat up $250 or $300 million, is it really, you have to do a cost-benefit analysis, and you have to do it in a open and transparent way, so that people don't feel like there's something just sneaky going on.
Well, if that's the method used, you can do that every time.
Sure.
I mean, if you have four versus mm-hmm. two
right.
every month, you right. can vote to suspend the rules and then do that again.
Right.
And Charlottesville City Council, which is, I guess, six. Technically six Democrats, but
five.
Don't always five but
yeah.
don't always vote in the same manner.
No.
You can do that again, right? 4-1, I guess, would you couldn't do 3-2, but you can do 4-1. And it only takes particular issues to... I just don't understand why that's even allowed. And again, I think Robert's Rules of Order, which people talk about, and you can go online and pull those up, those are accepted as... fair ways to hold a meeting, but they're not accepted as the only ways to hold a meeting. And I think that, and again, this program is not meant to be a Fox News show or even an NPR show, which many people from the Republican side might choose to say. I'm not only exclaiming my particular viewpoint, but I don't understand how everyone, other than those four people, aren't ringing the phones off the hook and writing the letters to the editor saying, no, I'm not going to win the game this way.
Right, right.
Okay, well, let's move on. It is 11:20 on the wake-up call. Our guest today, Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris. We'll open the phone lines now. There are other topics to be discussed in the remaining 40 minutes. 979-0919, 877-WNRN rocks. Let's pass on the weather. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy today. 70% chance of showers. 80 to 85 highs. Mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers tonight. Lows in the mid-60. And then tomorrow, some sunshine. 50% chance of showers. Highs in the upper 80s. Right now, there's clouds across the listening area. 73 in the valley. 80 in Lynchburg. 80 in Richmond. 77 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for letting us be here today. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, where you are encouraged to be kind, have fun, and do the right thing. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville. They have three locations in Richmond. And for more information online, it's brms.com. All right, 11:21 on the wake-up call. Dial up if you have a question, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can send us an instant message question, WNRN Studio on the AOL site. All right, back in action with Mayor Dave Norris. Mayor, we were talking about sort of the ways to do business along with, I guess, the Western Bypass and why you don't approve of that being passed in a 4-2 vote. But let's talk a little bit about Charlottesville. You mentioned the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Schilling hosts a radio show, and I think many people are talking about whether or not he is an upcoming candidate, and that's been an issue, I believe, in the last several months with you, Rob Schilling, making a comment that you didn't think was fair, and he thinks that you're against the Tea Party, although you said a moment ago that you think that they're onto something.
I do. I think, interestingly enough, I have close family members that are active in the Tea Party. We, as a nation, are spinning ourselves into bankruptcy. And where I might differ from some in the Tea Party is I think we need a across-the-board look at government spending and government revenues to get our budget into balance. And that includes defense spending, which a lot on the Tea Party, or at least a lot in the Republican Party, don't want to look at. They take the defense spending off the table. We spend more in our defense budget for our military than virtually every other nation in the world combined. It's pretty close. And we can't afford to be the world's policeman anymore. We can't afford this just completely grandiose expenditure on our defense budget. So that's one thing that has to be cut back. We have to look at entitlements. We have to look at the tax cuts that have been benefiting the wealthiest of us. We have to look across the board at solutions for getting our budget into balance. And so I think there's good ideas on the Republican side. There's good ideas on the Democratic side. And we have to stop this posturing on both sides. And so I think the Tea Party is onto something when it comes to trying to get our budget into balance and looking at better ways of delivering government services, public services. And, I'll leave it at that.
So. We talk about money being spent. I had a friend ask me when I said that the mayor was going to be on today's program, Mayor Dave Norris from Charlottesville. Why does Charlottesville have four sister cities? Isn't that money being wasted? it's one thing to have a sister city, but why do we have four? And I think in the last 6 months, a group from Charlottesville went to the sister city in Ghana, et cetera. Money being spent for no purpose.
All right, so I just did some math here, Rick, on my little trusty calculator. So we spend, well, first of all, that trip last month, which I was on, we had a wonderful time. Zero public dollars were spent on that trip. That was privately funded. But we do allocate $15,000 a year, if I remember correctly, to our sister city program, most of which is spent in when we have visitors from our sister cities come to this to Charlottesville.
And take them out to dinner kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing, and other things like that. Our budget is approximately $140 million. So if we were to eliminate funding for the sister city program, that would be, if I did my math correctly, 0.0001% of our budget. And, you know, it's people always focus on things like public art, which we spend, I think, I want to say $5,000 for every year for the Art in Place or Sister Cities. Or are we still hearing about the this stupid Christmas tree from 10 years ago that the city bought, this artificial Christmas tree on the mall that was a $30,000 Christmas tree, or the clock on the downtown mall, which is $25,000. Even if you add all these things up, which are things that people always focus on when they talk about wasteful local spending, you're talking well under 1% of the city's budget. It's a minuscule, minuscule amount of money. If you want to get serious about cutting government spending, you have to look at the whole picture. And again, you look at $300 million for a Western Bypass, $150, $200 million for a water supply plan, tens of millions of dollars for the Meadow Creek Parkway. Those are things that I've put on the table and others have put on the table as places to look for reductions. And that's real money, not the $5,000 that we spend on public art. Yeah, you may disagree with it, but that's not a budget-cutting measure. I mean, that, you know, that's it's a rounding error. I mean, so, but getting back to your point, the Sister Cities program, I'm a proud supporter of it. I've seen the benefits of it, particularly when we have opportunities for citizens from Charlottesville to go and visit some of these cities around the world and broaden their horizons. We have a group of young people from Charlottesville High School that are going to visit from our Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra, our Charlottesville High School Symphony Orchestra, that are going to visit our sister city this summer. Again, it's all privately supported. And they're going to be able to perform in Poggio Caiano, our sister city there, and interact with young people there. We've had soccer teams from Charlottesville go and play in Poggio. We've had churches from this area go and do work in Ghana and Winneba. We've had, people from France, from our sister city there, come visit Charlottesville. It's a great opportunity to broaden our horizons and expose residents of all these communities to a way of life that they're unfamiliar with. And I think we as a country need to do more of that. We need to be less insular and more open to exposing ourselves to the broader world. I only think good can come of that.
11:28 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris. Let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing the mayor to be here today. Thanks to their support. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, brgtshirts.com. Mayor, I believe the phrase you used was exposing ourselves.
In the Anthony Weiner kind.
And I understand that. It takes me to the downtown mall and our, what's the proper name? The Free Speech Monument. I can't think of the proper title of that.
The Free Speech Monument.
Mm-hmm. And several months ago, where there was a picture on there that some people thought was somewhat inappropriate, such as exposing yourself in the Anthony Weiner kind of way. And so it was erased. And so that was a battle of what is appropriate for the city of Charlottesville. That was not your decision.
No.
But your thought process on that, why it was done, and would you have done that?
This one is a little tricky for me because I've never actually been a big fan of the free speech monument, and I've said that publicly, and had I been on council, I almost surely would not have voted for it. It serves some purpose, and it has been a forum for creative expression and political expression, and some really unique events have occurred around the monument, and it's not all bad, but it certainly does open us up to some very difficult judgment calls, like when a citizen draws a picture on the monument that's considered quite offensive.
Well, it was more like a Georgia O'Keeffe.
Well, but there have been others. There's been many other times when offensive things have been written on the monument. And that's all part of free speech, of course, is tolerating things that some people may find offensive. But I have to say, as a parent, I don't necessarily, when I bring my, children downtown and walking on the mall, I don't necessarily want to see, a big, FU on the free speech monument, or other things that I just don't think are necessarily appropriate in the public realm like that. Now we do have a practice, that we, i.e. the city, I think it's important for people to know that the Free Expression Monument is not owned or maintained by the city of Charlottesville. It's owned and maintained by the Thomas Jefferson Center for Free Expression, I believe is the name of it. And they do a good job of maintaining it. But we do have a sort of rule that the city itself will not go down and clean off things that some people might find offensive. And in this case, we had a brand new city manager who was responding to a citizen complaint, wasn't necessarily aware of that rule that had been in place. I don't know if it's a formal rule or an informal rule, but and did instruct that particular image to be erased. And since then has said, that was probably not the right way to handle it. But it does bring up issues. I myself not wearing my hat as mayor, but wearing just as a private citizen who, I myself have erased things on and written things on that monument. So it's one of the things that was touted about that monument when it was first constructed was that not only does it give a chance for people to express, but it gives people a chance to erase, which in a way is its own form of expression. And so if you see something, if anybody's walking downtown, you see something on that monument that you find offensive, you are certainly allowed to erase it. And maybe we should put up some erasers down there so we have tools to erase the things with, because that's all part of expression. But what we don't want is we don't want the Charlottesville police to go down and police what's written on that monument.
Again, Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris here dealing with my coughs in the background. Dial us up 979-0919. 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Mayor, we've gotten a question through the instant message board. What did I write down? Mayor is for hemp farming. Please explain. What about medical marijuana?
That's a great question. I am in favor of legalizing hemp, industrial hemp, and in fact, I'm in favor of legalizing marijuana for that matter. But I see them as two very separate issues. And unfortunately, the industrial hemp, which had been used in this state, in this country for many centuries to make manufacture a wide variety of products, including the very paper that our Declaration of Independence was written on. It was farmed up at by Thomas Jefferson. It was farmed by George Washington. It was used for sales. It was used for all kinds of goods. And in fact, to this day, there are many products sold here in the city of Charlottesville and in the Commonwealth of Virginia that are made from industrial hemp, that our farmers can't legally farm. They can't legally grow. And there's something really bizarre about that, that you can go down to Whole Foods Market and buy hemp oil and hemp this and hemp seeds and all this stuff made from hemp, and our own farmers here in Virginia can't grow the stuff. So it's because of this idea that some people have that if you open the door to re-legalizing industrial hemp, which has zero narcotic value to it, property to it, if you open the door to that, then you're opening the door to legalizing marijuana, which is, as anybody who knows this stuff knows, is not the same thing as industrial hemp. So I have supported it. Legalizing industrial hemp, spoke at a rally in favor of it, taped a video about it. I just think it's a no-brainer. When we can sell it here, we can sell the products that are made from hemp here. We just can't grow the raw material here. And there's something just, I'd say, do one or the other. Either make it illegal to sell hemp seeds at Whole Foods Market and crack down on that, which would be silly and ridiculous, or be consistent and allow our farmers to grow the stuff here and put some money in their pockets.
You followed that initial question up by saying that you also approve legalization of marijuana. Is that marijuana or medical marijuana?
Both.
Both.
I mean, I have no authority. I have no, you know, that's not a local government issue. That's a state issue and a federal issue. But if it were up to me, I don't personally partake in it, but you know, the reality is that there are many drugs that are perfectly legal, i.e. alcohol, that are much more damaging than marijuana. So I think our war on drugs has in many ways been a really unfortunate failure, and we're filling our prisons and jails with people who are users of a drug, i.e. marijuana, that's in the grand scheme of things, relatively harmless.
All right, let's see. I answered the phone by pushing the button. Let's see if our caller hung tight. Nope. Caller, dial back. 979-0919. Sorry, I was trying to get you before the phone rang too many times. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS.
Can I just say, Rick, I want to qualify what I just said, because that is not an official statement on behalf of the city of Charlottesville. That's my own personal belief, and
always important for the mayor to identify which that is. You didn't have your I didn't see you got your T-shirt on today. I can verify that you didn't seem to have on the same setup that I might have seen you in at the city council meeting. That's right. For those people who are fired up and ready to show up at the next meeting and have the vote suspended so there can be official stuff later, Mayor Norris not representing the city of Charlottesville with that. Mayor Dave Norris here from the city of Charlottesville. Council member since 2006, mayor since 2008. If you have a question or a comment, please ring us up. Mayor, why is the relationship with the county of Albemarle always seem to be difficult? It seems as though you're either neighbors with the fence that's a little too low, or the kids that, you know, one of them that just don't get along. The siblings that just can't have a happy time for most days.
Well, how much time you have? I mean, I think actually, to a certain extent, that's a little overplayed. I mean, the fact is that Albemarle County and the city of Charlottesville actively collaborate on many, many different issues, and actually do more together than many, if not most, cities and counties in Virginia. And we're very proud of that fact.
Toss out a few.
Well, for instance, we collaborate in running our regional jail. We have a regional airport. We have a regional technical education center. We have a regional library system. We have regional water and sewer authority. We have a regional solid waste authority. We have regional planning that goes on. We have you know, we as a region do a lot together. The city and the county do a lot together and do it well and play well in the sandbox on many things. There certainly are areas in which the city and the county have butted heads. And there's many people in the city who feel pretty strongly, as do I, that we absolutely should collaborate and cooperate with Albemarle County wherever it makes sense to do so and wherever both sides benefit from it, but that we have to do a better job of standing up for the city's interests. I think a lot of people in the city are going to consider that very carefully when we look at the upcoming city council election and who's going to protect the city's assets and the city's interests. And I'll give you a perfect example. For the last several years, we have had to fight Albemarle County down in Richmond in the General Assembly over funding for our schools. They've been trying to take millions of dollars that are currently being directed to the city schools and redirect them to the county schools. Our city schools are much higher need than the county schools, and there's many reasons why us in the city have fought back against this effort. And so far we've succeeded, but it's come at great cost, financial cost. We've had to hire lobbyists to go down and fight Albemarle County, spent tens of thousands of dollars on lobbyists, which is ridiculous to me. To go lobby the General Assembly against Albemarle County and fight it out with them down there. And we need to make sure that the city councilors that are elected this year are going to stand strong for our city schools and for our city school children and stand strong when it comes to protecting the city's assets in other ways as well. But again, I go back to my original point, which absolutely cannot be minimized, which is that in the grand scheme of things, we do pretty well together within the context of a thoroughly dysfunctional system that we have in Virginia, which is the only state that works this way, where cities and counties are completely independent of each other. If this were, as I've said many times, if this were any other state in the country, 49 other states, Charlottesville would be a city within Albemarle County, be part of Albemarle County, and we wouldn't have this completely dysfunctional system which pits counties and cities against each other and creates a lot of duplication of services and a lot of needless cost. You know, we have two separate police departments, two separate fire departments, two separate school systems down the line, whereas in many parts or most of the country, you know, you'd have one school system for the county, including the city. You'd have one police department, one sheriff's department, one, you know, one public works department, et cetera.
All right, 11:43 here on the Wake Up Call. Caller, I've got Terry on the line. Hang on just a second. I've got things that I need to do, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
All right, this week in The Hook, the Western Bypass is back in the news, as you know. A road project discussed for decades, the Albemarle Board of Supervisors recently approved in a controversial late-night meeting. And if someone you don't know puts their hands on your crotch, shouldn't that be a misdemeanor? More than a misdemeanor. The Hook has it all. The Hook, wishing the best to all our dads. Happy Father's Day. And let's thank Dixon Disposal for letting us be on air today. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. Find them on the phone line 978-2111. Find them on the internet, DixonDisposal.com. And Terry, hang on just a second, because I got other WNRN folks in the studio that want to tell you something. Dad?
Good morning, Rick. Morning, Mayor Dave. I wanted to come in and thank Mayor Dave Norris. He was actually helping us be Master of Ceremonies on Friday night for Camp Out East. Thank you, David. It was very nice to have you out there.
It's good to be there. Thank you.
and a wonderful event had by all. And thank you to everyone that came out and all of our volunteers who helped Camp Hotties be a roaring success in its first year. I do have a question, though, for the mayor, if that's okay.
Well, can you hang on? Because Terry has been on. You're not going to go anywhere, and Terry's been on the line for a while.
All right.
All right, Terry, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for hanging tight. Fire away with your question.
Well, you know, I actually have two questions, but the one prominent to my mind, and it's a little off subject, but I'm wondering what was the reasoning and the thinking behind putting in those bike lanes on Main Street and taking away the parking spaces. You know, I go to some of those businesses, you know, I guess we won't mention names, so favoritism, but, you know, basically, there's like three parking spaces in front of the Greyhound station, and the taxis are in them all the time during the day. And it just makes it almost impossible to be a patron to some of these establishments up down Main Street.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we've been working very hard to improve bicycle safety in the city, and West Main Street is a primary example of that, where given the fact that we had a bike lane that was not continuous, it made it difficult and unsafe for both bicyclists and drivers alike. We have done, our traffic engineer has been out there to find replacement parking spaces, and we did have to take away, I believe, about 11 spaces in total. We've created in their place, I think, at least five or six in the immediate vicinity. New spaces. So there was a net loss of spaces. It will take some time to readjust, but we're confident that at the end of the day, it was a net plus because it does create a safer situation for both bicyclists and drivers by not having bicyclists having to pull out in the middle of the driving lane. It's always a tough call when you're talking about removing parking, and it's not always the most popular thing to do. I think in the long run, we have to look at where there might be opportunities for structured parking along West Main Street to support the businesses there and the development that's to come. And I know this idea has sort of been on the back burner for a while, and I'd like to see us put it on the front burner and see where we can significantly increase opportunities for parking in that part of the city.
All right. Terry, thanks much for dialing in. That was a great question. You pulled that off my list. Now we have a question from a listener in the studio. Tad?
Thanks, Rick. My question actually is kind of in conjunction with what Terry had asked, and it's a little bit off the realm of your day-to-day mayoral duties, but there are a lot of traffic problems in Charlottesville at the moment because there's a lot of construction going on. Of course, you got I-64 by the Route 29 interchange. You've got the work that Terry mentioned on West Main Street. You have some stuff on the bypass. You have some stuff in Pantops. And, of course, the mess at Jefferson Park Avenue. Mm-hmm. It seems that at this point in time where Charlottesville does a lot of things in a prudent nature, there's just a lot of projects going on at one time, and it's really making the city movement really congested right now.
It is hard, particularly, you know, when a good example of that was when we when VDOT closed down the JPA bridge in order to replace that bridge. At the same time, the city was doing major work on Shamrock, which is the main detour around there, which was just created a big mess. And in hindsight, it absolutely was poorly thought out. And I think part of it is just we have to do a better job coordinating between the different entities. When VDOT doesn't always tell you when they're going to do something, give you a lot of advance notice. And we have to make sure that whoever's affected by it, you know, another good example is on the, again, at JPA, we've got some businesses right there.
They're hurting.
They're hurting. And some people I've heard in the city, and I'm sort of disappointed to hear them say it, they say, well, that's, you know, it's a VDOT thing. And VDOT has to be responsible for those impacts. But the reality is, those are city businesses. Those are active members of our city business community, and they're patronized by our city residents. And we can't just sort of expect, you know, put that all on VDOT. We've got to do what we can to support those businesses. But I think in general, you know, just better coordination, better public awareness about when things are going to happen, and just ask people to be patient about when you have construction like that, because at the end of the day, these are all necessary projects. Just mm-hmm. you just wish sometimes that they were better coordinated.
All right.
It's a good question.
Great question, Ted. Thanks. Mayor Dave Norris from the city of Charlottesville on air today, 11:50 here on the Wake Up Call. Dial us up, 979-0919. I see, just had a call. Let me thank The Backyard for supporting us during the hour. UVA Corner's Culinary Secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. Backyard has a seasonal menu, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. For more info, 202-8215. You can find them on Facebook. Online, it's thebackyarduva.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because I see that Drew Thompson has just walked in the studio. He'll be here in 10 minutes for Les Temps Perdue, Best of 80s and 90s Alternative, with folks like Thomas Dolby and The Replacements, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music and Basil. Requests are always welcome on Les Temps Perdue. Mary, we were talking a minute ago with Tad about sort of the traffic issues and the projects, which to me is quality of life mm-hmm. here in our area. And I know that there was a lot of discussion in the last month, at least with the city council, about Ravana Water and Sewer Authority and the pumping station
right.
that has been talked about in the Woolen Mills area. And as someone very close to someone who lives in the Woolen Mills area, her thought process is taking the easy way out and the least spending, the lowest dollar figure to solve the problem, because city council, or at least certain members of city council, not incorporating quality of life into the thought process because it has no dollar figure on it. Can you talk about that?
Well, actually, the cheapest solution to that particular issue, which involves a needed upgrade to a sewer pumping station over there, the cheapest solution is simply to leave it where it is and to replace it where it is. But the problem with that is that it's immediately adjacent to a city park, to a city residential neighborhood and historic district, and it's in a floodplain. And I would, it's one of the citizens of Woolen Mills asked the question, find me anywhere else in the country a major sewer pumping station that's located immediately adjacent to a residential neighborhood, a historic district, and a city park in a floodplain. And then we'll think about whether that's a good place for it. And so far, nobody's been able to find one. Now,
another rarity in the Charlottesville area.
That's right. But this is one of those other issues, and there's a number of them, where city residents have to think about, do we have counselors who are going to stand up for the residents of the city, for the city's assets, when it comes to regional decisions. And this sewer pumping station, there are other ways of other places to locate that station that are viable. And the one that a lot of people were looking at would have put it on the other side of the river, which would not be near or next to a residential neighborhood. It'd be out of the floodplain, not in a historic district, not in a park. But the county balked at that because it would be down the hill from State Farm, and State Farm didn't want it there.
Well, let's just have a 4-2 vote.
So we have to sort of, the city council has to stand up for our city residents, for our city neighborhoods, and even when that means we don't necessarily make our regional partners happy.
All right, 11:54 on the Wake Up Call with Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Mayor, we've got two calls that came in, so we got about 6 minutes to go through two really easy questions.
Okay.
You ready?
All right.
First, the mayor is a good guy, but if we streamlined Charlottesville and Albemarle, wouldn't it cut back on jobs in our area?
If we streamlined Charlottesville and Albemarle.
I think you were talking about we have two school systems. Then we would only need one superintendent.
Right.
And Parks and Rec or some of the other that you mentioned.
And what I was pointing out there was that there are just the system that we have creates inefficiencies. But that's the system we have. There are a number of services that we provide regionally which do result in more cost-efficient services, but I don't necessarily see us merging school systems or merging police departments anytime in the immediate future. So I think those jobs are safe. But in the grand scheme of things, yes, when you're talking about reducing government spending and making governments more efficient, it often does mean fewer jobs. But if you do it the right way, you can a lot of times achieve efficiencies through natural attrition and not necessarily have to lay off a lot of people. So.
Well, and my answer to that as the non-city council member would be, well, if you save money and if you lose jobs there and save money, well, then that's government money to be spent on other things that have been taken off the system currently and jobs, people move from A to B.
Yeah.
Another caller, Chad, says, what impact would the Western Bypass have on the transportation funding, and how would it impact current projects in Charlottesville?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, that's a big question mark right now, Chad, and we don't know. We don't know the answer to that. And originally, the promise that was sort of made at the county supervisor meeting was that this money was all going to come through from the state, and in addition to that, they were going to fund some other regional transportation projects. So it was almost like a no-brainer for the county to support it on a financial level because it wouldn't mean sacrificing other things. But since then, we've learned, or what we're hearing, is that it may well mean reallocating dollars from other transportation needs in the area to the Western Bypass, which would be, in my mind, a grave error.
How did you get through that in about 60 seconds? That was amazing. I thought I could just kick back and wait until
sorry,
we got
Rick.
To noon. 11:57, I see the phone's ringing. I'm just going to take that myself. Hi, caller. How are you?
Hey, it's Terry again.
Yes, hey, Terry.
Hey, just one more question. How do we get more buses routes to work on Sundays?
That's a great question. I've been a supporter of, when I started on city council, we didn't have any bus service on Sunday. And I pushed and others pushed to at least have some bus service on Sunday, which we eventually did and we are now doing. But I agree. I think we need to increase bus service on Sundays. I'd like to see us, offer some bus service on holidays, which we currently don't do a lot of or any of on certain holidays. And, one of the other city council candidates, Brandon Collins, recently came forward with an idea of extending bus service later at night until I think it stops now around midnight, and he'd like to see us extend that to at least like 2 a.m., 1 or 2 a.m. But I think these are all good ideas. Of course, they all cost money. And but I think in terms of priorities, for me, improving public transportation is a high priority, and I would certainly support some of those changes.
Mayor, are you going to run again when your term comes up?
You know, it's really early to say. I'm not inclined to. It's two and a half years away. That will have I will have had 8 years of my life dedicated to this work, which I've thoroughly enjoyed. But it's a huge sacrifice. It comes at it's a huge cost in time that I could be spending on with my family and other things. So I don't know right now. It's very premature to say. I'm enjoying it for now, and we'll see what happens. So.
Well. I like you on city council because you come on the program every once in a while.
Happy to do it.
And I like your thought process. Whether or not I always agree with your decision making, I can't say that. But I like the thought process and I like the explanations that are given for that. And,
oh,
and
thank you.
Again, to go back to how we started, that Board of Supervisors thing just pisses me off so much.
I can tell.
And to have someone come on the program who has a much more legitimate thought process. I appreciate it.
Well, and Rick, if everybody agreed with me all the time, it would be a really boring place. So I'm glad that we have diversity of opinion in this area. So.
That's for someone who runs their own business. Again, happy Father's Day to everyone. Next week, Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow will be on. I'm sure we'll probably touch on a few of these topics again, but we'll also talk about the media and how Charlottesville Tomorrow can actually write articles for the Daily Progress and others. Charlottesville Tomorrow, you can find them, Google them up, and read a little bit about them before we start. Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps, Purdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.